the idea is that we can reframe our thinking. Like, we don't have to let the media define what's beautiful. We can let consumers define what's beautiful. And so Strong as the New Skinny is a great, I mean, it's a great catchphrase, but it goes to this mentality that, what if we decide that beautiful is, strength and fitness and eating clean and, you know, and just, can we as a group of consumers change the way media markets?
Hi, this is Amy, the senior group fitness instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com. Hi there, and welcome to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast, number 208. I'm your host today, Amy McGowan. I sound a little different than John. With me today is Gina Wagner from Phoenix. Gina, welcome.
Thank you.
John and I get a magazine every month, as do all the members of Lifetime Fitness, called Experience Life. And in the last edition was a great article called Build a Better Body Image. And Gina, you wrote that article.
I did, yep.
It caught John's and my attention. And in reading it, John thought that I should host this podcast, which I always love to do. Gina, tell me what led you to write that article.
This was an assignment I got from Experience Life. I've been writing for them for about 5 years. And my editor, Jen Sinkler there, is the senior fitness editor. She approached me with the topic and I jumped on it. I mean, you know, body image is something that I think a lot of us assume is more of a issue for adolescents or younger women. And the approach that Experience Life wanted to take was how it affects adults and men and women. So I was excited to kind of dig in and see, you know, unfortunately, that it's a much bigger issue than I realized.
And in your first look at the issue, did you think it was more of a female issue? Or when you looked at it, did you have some preconceived notions?
I did. You know, there's so much in the media, obviously, about body image, and what we hear over and over again is about young people and adolescent girls, especially. And I knew that it, you know, affects adults as well and men as well. But I definitely had a sense that it's primarily a female issue. And what I found is actually it does affect women much more than men, but it's still a very significant issue for men as well. And it's a very significant issue for adult women, women who are established, you know, in their family and their careers. And you would think that they don't have a lot of worries necessarily. It turns out those are the people who are plagued by body image issues. And one statistic that I found, and, you know, there's so much research out there, but what I found is that most women have some sort of, you know, not necessarily a serious body image issue, but, you know, most women have things about their body that they're not satisfied with, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And about half of men also are dissatisfied with their bodies in some way or another.
Half of men. That's a surprising statistic.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's, if when you look at the studies, there's different statistics. One said about 40% of men, one said about 60% of men. And so I think it's safe to say that, you know, about half of men are dissatisfied with their body in one way or another.
I think that's something that we as indoor cycle instructors and group fitness instructors need to know, that most women and half of men have something that they're dissatisfied with.
Yes.
And we need to teach to that and be aware of that. One thing that blew my mind, because I know that you also write about parenting and fitness and travel, that 44% of mothers would rather lose 15 pounds than add 15 points to their child's IQ.
Yes, that was disturbing to me as well, especially since I have a 4-year-old daughter. I just can't fathom thinking that way.
No.
That was a statistic that I was reluctant to put in there because it's, you know, I mean, it's an attention grabbing statistic, but it was actually a survey of 26,000 parents, mostly mothers. So it wasn't a small sample. The survey was big enough that I felt like, you know, that statistic really warrants some attention. And it says something about where, not so much where priorities are as mothers, because I think most mothers, their priority is their children, but just how badly they want to change their bodies.
So what were some of the highlights and the pullouts, Gina, that you got that we could take as instructors? You know, we have this group of people that we see and can help on a daily and for sure weekly basis. What were some of the takeaways for you?
I think it's really easy when you're looking at body image as a topic or as an issue to, for me, you know, it was easy to kind of get depressed by and think, oh gosh, you know, when you look at the media and we're assaulted with images of these perfect bodies. And even, you know, as much as I love Lifetime Fitness and I love gyms, you know, you walk in and you see images of these bodies that some people feel like they're never going to be able to attain. And so I think what I took away from it was just a way to reframe your thinking. You know, it's totally okay to have a part of your body that you're not satisfied with. The way you respond to that is really the important thing. I mean, it's one thing to say, gosh, you know, for me, I'm a mother of two toddlers. So I look at my abs and they're not what they were before I had children. And it would be really easy for me to criticize myself or want to hide that part of my body. Instead, what I learned from talking with these sports psychologists is, you know, look at that part of my body and say, gosh, you know what? I carried two human beings and my abs don't look the way that they did 5 years ago, but they served me. My body served me and it helped me bring my children into the world. And I can work on that part of my body and I don't need to be ashamed of it. I need to be proud of what my body did for me. And that goes for men, you know, who might think that their legs are too skinny and, you know, instead of criticizing yourself for that, think about how strong and capable your legs are. Think about what they allow you to do. They're allowing you to pedal your bike. They're, you know, carrying you throughout your day. And it sounds a little cheesy sometimes, but I think when you practice just reframing, stopping, you know, if you hear yourself criticizing yourself, stop, reframe your thinking, try to put it in a more positive light. It really does eventually change your outlook on yourself.
What I'm hearing too, Gina, is the attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a body that is working.
Right.
You know, and taking things for granted all the time instead of really being grateful that we have working bodies.
Yes. And that's not to trivialize your concerns or to say that your feelings aren't valid, because I think, you know, it's not just brushing those feelings under the rug, but I think just really trying to say, one, it's okay to want to work on your body. It really is. But, you know, when you let yourself go down a black hole of just self-criticism and, you know, comparing yourself to others, that's also something that really can just, you know, put you in a bad place and it becomes a spiral. So I think anything you can do to kind of encourage yourself, surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you in your health and fitness goals and remind you, you know, how capable you are, I think is a great thing.
So the body envy.
Right.
Category.
Yes. And that's huge. I mean, it's, you know, you can't turn on TV or open a magazine or watch a movie without seeing examples of perfect bodies. And one thing that I really appreciated when I was researching the article is I got to speak with a celebrity coach, and she couldn't tell me obviously exactly who her clients were, but one thing that she told me is she said she knows from being in the business, from working with celebrities, that they lie about how much time they spend exercising. You know, you read an article and you see a beautiful actress with six pack abs and, you know, sculpted arms. And she's, you know, here in an article saying, oh yeah, I just do a little bit of cardio or I do yoga a few times a week. And this coach was like, you know, that's, she's grossly underestimating how much time she's spending working out. She's got a personal trainer. She's spending, you know, hours a day working on her body because that's her job. And she's got the money, you know, to have somebody cook for her. And she's got, you know, somebody helping with her children. And so, you know, just reminding yourself you're going to be bombarded with images. But the way that you filter them, if you can remind yourself that it's not reality and that you're not genetically the same as those people, you may not have the resources that those people have. So you should not expect to look like those people.
I thought that was very interesting perspective. Not only do the images that we see in the media portray perfection in that they've been specifically chosen and honed, but they're also enhanced.
Right. Right. I do a little bit of photography to go with my writing. And so I use Photoshop, and it's funny to me. I don't do fashion photography. I don't do any airbrushing of people or anything like that. I try to keep my images really authentic. But when I go online sometimes and I look at tutorials for how to use the Photoshop software, sometimes I come across these tutorials for fashion photographers, and it shows what they do with a raw image of a model to create, you know, a print magazine worthy image. And it's, you know, in some cases, hours of retouching, and the tools that they use, you know, they're shaving off little bumps, and, you know, there's a tool on Photoshop called Liquify where you can literally trim somebody's waist so that they're not, you know, it's not real. I mean, it's not the same image as the raw image of the model. So I think it's helpful for people to know that when they look at these images, to just remind yourself that that's not what the person really looks like.
Talk to me. There was a segment in the article called A Sizable Challenge. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that most of us, men and women, incorrectly perceive our weight.
Yes.
Talk to me, please, about the differences between women and men.
Let's talk about men for a second. I thought that this was really interesting. You know, women almost universally feel like they're fatter or bigger than they actually are. That wasn't too surprising to me. What surprised me was men kind of fall into two different camps. There are men who are average size who want to be bigger. And that comes from, an incorrect perception that women or that significant others want big, bulky muscles on men, or that, you know, if you're going to be a man, you have to be muscular. So, you know, some very average, very healthy, very lean men are feeling pressure to bulk up because of that. And then in the other camp are men who are overweight, who feel like they're actually normal. And that's the result of the obesity epidemic in America. You know, Americans have gotten progressively bigger over the years, as everyone knows. And so it's changed our perception of what a normal, healthy weight is. So there's a lot of men who are overweight, but feel like they're okay because maybe they're not as heavy as their best friend or their brother or, you know, the guys at the office. They're leaner than those men, so they think that they're fine, when in fact, actually, they are overweight. And the part about men, and this is true for adolescent boys too, the men who fall in the camp where they want to bulk up. There's a lot of stuff in the media about children and Barbie dolls and G.I. Joes. And I've always, you know, since I have a 4-year-old daughter, I've always been kind of critical of Barbie dolls and princesses and stuff like that because of the ideal, you know, that they put in front of young girls for what they for how thin they should be and the way they should look. But one thing I didn't realize is that G.I. Joes and action figures over the years have gotten bigger and beefier than the original G.I. Joe, you know, whenever it was introduced. So if you look at a, you know, 1950s, 1960s G.I. Joe, he's leaner, he's muscular, but he's leaner than if you look at a G.I. Joe right now, which is kind of a ballooned, beefy version, which
a steroid pumped up.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting. So women aren't the only ones that have fallen to the media hype of a perfect body.
Right. Right. And there's, you know, some of the psychologists that I talked to said that they're seeing more, you know, adolescents and young boys, but it's, you know, it's true for adult men as well. This, one, I'm trying to find it in my notes, but one, study that I was really interested in said that the body that women like on men is about 15 to 20 pounds less muscular than what men think women like. So there's a disconnect there between what men think women want and what women actually want when it comes to, you know, attractiveness in a man.
We don't like them as bulked up as they think we do.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And did you find any research in that the reverse is true? Men don't like women as thin as we think they do?
It was not in the article, but that's definitely the case as well. You know, there's been a lot of research to that. And, you know, women's perception is often that in that same way.
Then you had a subcategory is, and there were 9 points as to how healthy is our body image. Mm-hmm. And the questions were, and I think that you guys, we can take this to our classes. You know, the first one is when someone compliments us on our appearance, be gracious and accept the compliment as authentic.
Yeah, and that's one where you can actually fake it until you make it. I mean, it's hard sometimes when somebody walks up to you and says, wow, you're looking really great. You're looking strong. I know, you know, fitness instructors a lot of times will, if they have regular clients, will say, you're looking really strong. You may not believe it, but go ahead and say, thank you. I have been working really hard. And I think the more that you just take it as, gosh, this person's not going to lie to me. They're not saying that just to make me feel good. They're noticing something, a change in me. I think if you just, you know, keep accepting those compliments as the truth, you're going to really internalize that that is the truth.
The second thing was if we wear clothes that highlight our form rather than hide it.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's always a great sign. If you're looking in your closet and you're drawn to, you know, and I'm not, you know, not tight provocative clothing, but if you're drawn sure. something that fits you well and, you know, shows your figure, whatever it is, I think that's always a great sign.
Third thing was, it's not hard to find an outfit in which we feel comfortable and attractive.
Right. Again, I think that just goes to feeling comfortable in your own skin and you know, not second guessing it.
Yep. The fourth one was, you rarely compare yourself with others. You recognize that you are unique.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's a hard one, but it's...
Yep.
You are, yeah. And I think, again, that just goes back to, you know, constantly reminding yourself that that's the truth.
Fifth one, and this, again, this is lending itself to, you know, really accepting and getting a healthy body image. The fifth one, you can admire another person's physique without silently criticizing or judging your own.
Yes.
Awesome. Sixth one, when you pass by a mirror or storefront window, you don't stop and nitpick your appearance. You might even give yourself an approving nod.
Yep. And I think that's true in the fitness studio as well. You know, usually you've got mirrors. so if you can kind of glance in the mirror and remind yourself that you're strong and like what you see, then that's always great.
Yep. You can name several parts of your body that you genuinely like and appreciate. The eighth one is really a good one. If you put on or lose a little weight, you can note it matter-of-factly without undue anxiety or stubborn denial.
Yes. And that, you know, another thing that was not in the article, one expert I talked with said that if you can do that, if you can allow your weight, you know, it's, I mean, normally everyone's weight fluctuates a little bit. And when you can notice it without a lot of anxiety, then you're putting yourself on a path to long-term success. Because I think a lot of times when people get really scared, they notice a change on the scale and they get really anxious about that, that can start a spiral. So yeah, anytime that you can just kind of take note, say, oh, I notice I've put on a couple pounds. Okay, well, I'm going to continue with my routine and make a little adjustment here and there, but not get too worried about it.
Not whack one way or the other.
Exactly.
Swing on the pendulum.
Right.
And the ninth one, you are more focused on optimizing your health, fitness and confidence than on achieving a particular weight or look.
Yes.
And then lastly, I wanted to just talk about, you referenced strong is the new skinny. And I thought that was interesting that you did that because I think that is so true. And can you talk a little bit about talking with Adam and what he's doing from a social media perspective?
Yeah. Basically, you know, when you think about the media and how much we're bombarded with images of, you know, ideal bodies and models and, you know, that there's kind of this universal standard that women are skinny and tall and that's what's considered beautiful. And men, you know, are perfectly muscular and have a V-shaped torso and sculpted abs. And so Adam, started a social media campaign and, is basically, the idea is that we can reframe our thinking. Like we don't have to let the media define what's beautiful. We can let consumers define what's beautiful. And so strong is the new skinny is a great, I mean, it's a great catchphrase, but it goes to this mentality that, what if we decide that beautiful is, strength and fitness and eating clean and you know, and just can we as a group of consumers change the way media markets? And it's really been interesting to watch that page ever since I wrote the article. Of course, I liked the page and I've been watching the community grow. And, you know, it's hard to say on a national level how much they're changing perceptions, but certainly for the thousands and thousands of people who subscribe to that mentality, it's making a difference.
Would you highlight what it is? So if people wanted to go on and take a look and find out more about it, can you tell them a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I think the best place is to go on if you're on Facebook or is to just do a search for Strong as the New Skinny. And there's a page there that you can like, and there's information. And it's a community. It's a place to, you know, to support one another in your fitness goals. I think I haven't checked the page recently, but I think they have started doing some challenges that you can participate in, and maybe even some local get-togethers for people who support the idea near you.
It's pretty cool. I liked it about a year ago, and I don't spend a ton of time on it, but I just love the idea that you can take your body and get strong and your accomplishments and be your very best.
Yes.
So I think, you guys, I want to thank Gina very much. Gina, thank you.
Thank you.
For this article. And everyone, as instructors, I think it's so important that first and foremost, we be good models in being the best that we can be and having an attitude of gratitude for our bodies. And then as we model it, our members, both female and male, can grow to appreciate everything that they've been given and what they have, and being the best that they can be and having a healthy body image for everything that they have. So, Gina, if people wanted to contact you for more information about this article or maybe a copy of this article online, could they do that?
Yes. The easiest thing to access the article is to go to the Experience Life website. That's experiencelife.com, and do a search for body image. You can contact me. I'm on Twitter, Writer GDW, or my website is Gina DeMillo, DEMILLO.com.
Perfect, Gina. Thank you so very much. And for everyone that listened, we thank you for listening. And you can contact John at john@indoorcycleinstructor.com or me, Amy, at groupfitnessradio.com. Gina, thank you again, and say hi to everyone in Phoenix for me.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.